Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, brother. My faith is with you in this. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we don't all just get up and run, do we? But we need to, I let it out last a couple weeks ago. You got to shout. Sometimes you just got to shout it out. Let us scream. And I can't think of any greater place. Now, most churches, he would have been escorted out the back door. But I'm telling you right here and right now, if you can't shout for God, don't shout for the Browns. Don't shout for the Cavaliers or the Indians or the Steelers. I just hit more of you that one. I know who roots for who in here. Steeler fans are like, yeah, no, I got you. Nah. If you can't shout for God, who can you shout for? If you can't run for God, who can you run for? You got a light, let it shine. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I want y'all to know this morning that little secret we just let out, I've been holding that for a month. That has been hard. I just pretty much had to forget that. But I hear, folks, I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. God is just. May we never forget that. Amen?
Amen?
And shall we bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you that you are a good God, that you are a loving God, a merciful God. Father, we call upon your mercies. We call upon your goodness and your love. And Father, we come today presenting you our tithe and our offerings. Lord God, that represents the toil, the sweat and blood of our toil, sometimes even the tears of our toil. Lord, I thank you and praise you for it. I present it to you, Lord God, and I call heaven and earth as witness that your word is true. You said you'd rebuke the devourer for our sake, and you will. You said our harvest will not fail, and it will not. You said that our bins would overflow, and they shall. Father, we shall bless people. We shall be a light in a dark and dreary world. Father, bless this tithe and offering now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Whoop. Well, if you don't know God is good, then you don't know God. I'm going to tell you a little story this morning. I've shared parts of it before. Let him get that door shut. That hallway is just like a channel. Our neighbors, they up the road there, they'll shoot. And when they're shooting, it sounds like they are right at our back door because it follows a valley up and then it ends up in our backyard. And it's really loud. But some of you might remember that back in 1974, now I was alive, but I do not remember 1974. I was four. But back in 1974, a case broke in California. A case in which a Ferrari had gotten buried. I shared some of this a couple months ago. It was a 1973 Ferrari Dino, California. It was actually a very rare car. It had disappeared, stolen the year before. They accused the guy that bought it of insurance fraud. And they said, how does a plumber afford a car like that? Well, he wasn't just a plumber. He was a businessman who owned a plumbing business. They accused him of fraud and all this. And so in 1974, a story broke that two kids were in the backyard playing and they hit something. And they kept uncovering it. And they wanted to, they hit something and they wanted to tell somebody. So they ran out on the sidewalk, and there just happened to be a police officer walking the street. They got him over there. That evening, they brought in equipment and everything, and they started digging this up, and they found this missing Ferrari. Now, to tell you how prices have changed in times, back then, it was worth, you remember what I said? About $13,000, I think is what it was worth. Brand new. Buy a brand new Ferrari for $13,000 in 1974. That car today is worth $650,000. But a brand new Ferrari today will start you at $650,000. But this car, they dug it all up and everything and did a lot of investigating. But when they dug it up, the insurance company said, it's a write-off. It's toast. It's gone. Well, a couple people didn't fall completely for it. They're like, well, let's have it at least looked at. Insurance company said, no, we wrote a check. So a guy bought it for $6,500. He hauls it to a Ferrari mechanic. He told the guy, the Ferrari mechanic, the deal about the car. He said, do you think it will run? He said, absolutely, this car will run. It will start up. And he said, how do you know it'll run? He said, I know Ferraris. And true to what the man knew, he changed the gas, changed oil, cleaned it up. The car fired right up. And to my knowledge, has never had the engine worked on. The only thing that's been changed on that car has been the leather on the seats 2 years ago. Said all that to say this. That mechanic knew his product. The mechanic knew about Ferraris. He knew how they were made. He knew how they were engineered. He knew why they were engineered the way they were. He knew everything about that car. They even interviewed him, and he said, if you know anything about your product, you'd be the best. He said, I knew that that car would start up. How well do you know God? Do you believe God's going to show up? Do you believe God's going to stand true to his word? When you pay, give your tithe, we call it paying. I give my tithe. When I give my tithe to God, I know my God. And I've watched how he's rebuked the devourer. I've watched how things have come to pass. I've seen how blessing has come into my life. I've watched over time and time again how just a desire in my heart, God will just put it there, and then all of a sudden, there it is. I've shared a couple weeks ago, my boys were talking about it one day, and I said, well, maybe, you know, I'll save my money and I'll get a new four-wheeler, you know. And Joshua said, Dad, what are you talking about? He says, you know exactly what's going to happen. It's just going to show up. I thought, okay. You know why he said that? Because he's seen it. He has seen us talk about things and seen them show up. Things I desired. I was talking to Rob the other day about when I was rebuilding my motorcycle. The very parts I needed just happened to show up on eBay, and maybe five people in the entire world were bidding on it. And so I got these parts at ridiculous prices. But after I no longer needed that part, they would keep sending me those alerts, you know, hey, got this part on. And the parts were three times the price of what I had paid for all the good stuff I got. And so I look, and that's how God does. People are, well, God just brings blessings. You got to sometimes part with the cash in your wallet too. But he brings it at such a cost that it's not a detriment to you. Everybody just wants to walk around with the cash in their pocket, but they don't want what it is. Well, God, you got to bring it. I heard one guy say, the money I have is mine to do with as I wish. It's God's job to pay my bills. By the way, the man lost his house, lost his family, lost his car. You following me? That's not sound theology. Pay your bills too. Sow seed, give your tithe. Watch what God will do. But that's not the man we're talking about. We're talking about a man named Job. We all remember Job, don't we? He was a man, the Bible says, he was blameless and upright. And there was not another man on the planet. Think about that for a minute. There wasn't anybody else like Job on the earth. Aside from all the DNA stuff, we realize that. But as far as his faith in God, there was nobody else. But faith isn't what we know Job for, is it? I got patience of Job. Well, you know what? Job didn't get that patience just because God said, oh, here's some patience. James. Let me read it. The scriptures aren't going to come up here because I'm referencing most of this. But here's a scripture. It's in James. And I better put my glasses on. That's why I do like having them put up here. I don't have to put my eyeballs on. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, that's the last thing we do, isn't it? Knowing, here's why you need to know. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Those last three words is what I want to focus on. Faith produces patience. Job was not a man of patience. Job was a man of faith. We want faith, right? But we don't want to go through the crap to get it. And that's exactly what you got to go through. It stinks. Right? Life can stink sometimes. Let's just be flat out honest. And life is not fair. Once people start understanding it and get rid of that ideology that everything's got to be fair in the kingdom of God. No, you are still in this earth. You are still on this planet. You are still operating in the precepts that are in this world. And because Job had such faith in God, God said, Satan, now I want you to understand, again, we've capitalized it, but it was not a name. The word Satan, and that's how it's pronounced, Satan, is a Middle Eastern word that means enemy. Now, I always, in the Marine Corps, we had this saying, we kick butt and take names. I never understood it. I'm like, what do I want with their name? God kicked Lucifer's butt out of heaven and took his name. Lucifer no longer has an identity. He's a nobody. You ever felt like that? Well, Lucifer really is a nobody. So start understanding who your God is. He took Lucifer's name. He took his identity. And Lucifer is the one trying now to tell you that you're a nobody. But God says you are somebody because I died for you. Now, Job, upright, he's blameless. God has got, he's got the attention of his enemy now. And he said, have you considered him? And Satan says, well, does he fear you for nothing? You have a hedge around him. I can't get through it. I cannot get through what you've got up against him. I can't, I'm not allowed to touch him. Now, he was blameless, but he obviously was not perfect. Because there's two things we can see in here that maybe needed to be dealt with. One, he had a bit of a fear, did he not? He sacrificed daily for each one of his children. He had 10 children. And he made a sacrifice for each one of them. Every day, 10. In case they may have sinned and God would find fault with them. He was in fear for his children. Let me help you out, parents. Young and old, quit fearing for your children. Trust God, no matter what they're doing. They're being stupid, you just keep praying for them. I can promise you, you keep praying for them. Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Stand your ground. You can't back off. If you say you love your children and pray for them, quit worrying. I'm telling you, you can't change them by worry. God can change them. I'm going to promise you right now, God's going to have to take them down a road. Been there. Been there and done that. So many of us, we just keep going back and forth, bang, 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 bang. Until finally, hopefully, we get it and it settles in and says, that's it. I'm not going back. I'm done with the chains. I get nowhere over here. We're no better than a dog that's on a chain out in the yard, and a cat keeps walking up, and we keep running to the end of it until we hang ourselves. Eventually, we'll learn, you know what? I ain't chasing the cat no more. Leave the stupid cat alone. Now, my wife had the glorious experience. The other day, she was in there in her chair reading, and I was leaving her alone. I got my coffee. God, I'd just been waking up earlier every day anymore. And so I got my coffee, and I went out and sat on the deck, and it wasn't really warm, but I was not going to be defeated. And I sat out there with my cup of coffee and sitting on my deck, and I'm just looking out, and I look over, saw some movement on the other side of the road, and it was a head. And I watched, well, here come this doe. She's walking up along the road in the hayfield across the road now. And I sat there, and I just watched her, and she just kept walking and walking. And she turns right and comes up my driveway, comes up into it about 25, 30 feet, and just meanders. Now, just so you know, in October, she's fair game. She was within bow distance. So she was from me to the back wall. That's how far away she was. And I just sat there and watched her. Well, this morning, Angela got to see her. She walked out in the field, and the red-winged blackbirds were chasing her off and landing on her and pecking her, and so she finally left. But Angela got a video of Remy. He was sitting there trembling. She's like, no, no, you can't go, no, you stay put, Remy. He's shaking all over. He wants to go so bad, but he's obedient. We had this experience with a squirrel the other day. That mama squirrel came down through there, and he saw her, and he popped up. He said, and I said, no, no. And boy, next thing you know, he's just shaking all over. He's like, I got to go, Dad. I got to go. He just sat there and watched her run up a tree because he's chased her a couple times. But we were having our coffee. It was just a peaceful morning. We got to be like that. We got to sit there when we're being tempted. You can't run away. God's saying, don't do it. Don't be like the stupid little quail on Bambi. Don't fly. Somebody's waiting for you. The temptation out there is just a temptation. There's a trap waited for you. That's actually what the word offense means. It means a trap, a snare. And when you fly, you come up out of there, the devil is waiting for you. And he grabs you and he overtakes you. And he takes away everything that you got. And now I need you to understand something. The life of God is so much more than just coming to church. It's not driving Cadillacs, living in the biggest houses, smelling perfect, which I do appreciate you smelling good. But it's not all that stuff. It's peace and joy in this turmoil times. It's standing your ground when nothing is going right for you. Standing your ground when you have no reason to stand your ground. That's why the Bible tells us, having done all to stand, stand. But I ain't got anything to stand on. You don't see what you're standing on. If you're in faith, you look down and you're like, where did this big rock come from? I was in mud and sinking, but I stood my ground. I stood with what God said, and here I am still standing. See, Job was a man of that integrity. As a matter of fact, I want to read that real quick. Yeah, man. Let me get back here real quick. Because, you know, so often, folks, where is it at? I was just reading it. Verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? What is integrity, folks? Well, if I go around here, we're all going to come up with all the definitions that we've been taught in our self-help class or what somebody in a motivational speaker has said. But here, let's boil it down what integrity is. It is the firm, unshaking belief in what you believe in. You're not moving. God is God. I don't care what's going on. God is my Savior. God is righteous. God is good. I realize God's actually the one that sicked the devil on him. But shouldn't that be a moment when we say, God, you thought that much of me? And understanding that our faith is going to produce patience. It's going to produce the ability for us to, you know what? I don't care what's coming against me. I'm going to stand. When we were believing with Jesse when he was a baby, we didn't even get to hold him, and they stick him in this glass bubble. And the doctor comes in and he says, your little boy is very sick. We're not even, don't even hope that he's going to make it. He's very sick. And if he does survive, he's going to be a sickly little boy. He might be twisted in the head, but but I promise you, there's nothing wrong with that kid's lungs. And I need you to understand something. We stood our ground. We stood against what... Now, we did not go out and counteract everything the doctor said. Here's what people do. They go, well, doctor, I'm believing for this. I'm believing for that. I'm believing. If you just need to shut up and say, well, I hear you. You don't even have to say anything. Do you know that? If you don't have the right words, don't say anything. Keep the negative garbage out of it. It didn't look good for us. We didn't sit there and argue with the doctor. The doctor was, he wasn't a godly man. He was used by God, but he was not a godly man. I need you to understand, that doctor had only been to that hospital a couple months. And he was only there a couple months after we were done. He moved from Alaska to come to Marion. And boom, he's gone. So maybe a 6 month. How many doctors do that? They show up at a hospital for 6 months. And in the middle of that 6 months, you get to save the life of a baby. By the way, he wasn't the first one. But we continued to stand even on what that man, he had knowledge. He had seen it happen before. That's why he told us. He was running on his experience and what they taught him in medical school. We were standing on what the Word of God had said. Because we had been given a word that when she was pregnant with him, and he said, and he shall run with the gospel. First thing we were like, did God tell you it was going to be a he? And he said, well, I don't know. That's what, just what I felt. Because we were believing for a little girl. But God knew what we needed. God knew who he needed to be. And in all that, we had those words, he shall run with the gospel. That, well, run for God, yes. He shall run for God. Well, if he's going to run for God, you know what that means? He's going to live. And he's going to be fine. So we stood our ground on that. The circumstances didn't look good. He can show you the scars in his side. And if we shave his head, you can see the scars in the top of his head where they fed him. It was kind of depressing, honestly. Little baby, 2 weeks old, got tubes running in his head and in his ribs, and eyes are taped shut. And he's in a coma, by the way. A forced coma. Because he was fighting the machines. Talk about rage against the machine, right? You heavy metal fans will get that. But what I'm here to tell you, folks, is Job stood his ground on what he knew of God. And he only knew it, I got to get you to understand it. Job was not a Hebrew. Job was a Gentile. He had nothing to do with the law. He had nothing to do with Moses, even though some people believe he may have been the son of Nahor, which was Abraham's brother. They don't know who Job is. They don't know when Job existed. They're saying anywhere between 1800 and 2000 years BC. That was a long time ago. So they don't know anything about Job. So how did Job know about God? Through a relationship. Through getting to know God. And he knew that God would see him through this. He said, his wife comes to him and says, "You still stand in your integrity? Curse God and die." I'll tell you what. God, if you're going to take it, take her. Take her next. She's wanting to kill me. You don't need people to tell you to just die and roll over. Stand and fight. You've got to stand and fight. You've got to stand against every... That's why the Bible tells us to stand. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans to cast down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. What is the knowledge of Christ? God is good, and he has a good future for you. That's what he told Jeremiah, right? We all know that one. "For I know the future I have for you, says the Lord of hosts." The Lord of armies, by the way. "I know what I have for you. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts to give you a future and a hope." That's all you... Listen, people try to make faith such a three-step, 10-step, 20-step. There's one step. Stand. That's it. You don't stop. You just stand. No, this is what the word says. Guess who looked like a fool in the end? The wife. Because he actually said, "You speak as one of the foolish women." Foolish meaning you don't know God. You speak as somebody who doesn't know. One who doesn't know me. Why would I curse the man who the being that created me? But his three friends. I mean, if these are friends you got, I mean, come on. You're in trouble. One guy says, "I had a dream about you last night, and this big hairy thing came in and accused you, told me of all your sins. Here, let me help y'all out." One, he had a religious spirit. Two, it was a demon making false accusations against him. Because God had said, he's blameless. By the way, down further in here, it says, in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. He never spoke forth any doubt. He rued the day he was born. Said, "God, I'd been better off if I'd never been born." But he never cursed God. He never spoke doubt against God. And when he started getting wore down, God came to him and said, "Job, who are you? And who am I?" I'm paraphrasing, y'all. Can you reach down and pet the Leviathan? Does it talk softly to you? Can you catch it with a hook? Where were you when I created all of this, Job? Who are you in this grand scheme of things? And who am I? God will point out what he's done for you. If he's delivered you from things, stand on that and keep moving forward. Faith is about moving forward. It's not about standing still. If you want to keep moving forward in faith, you're going to have trials. You're going to have things. And I'm going to tell you right now, the greater the fight, the greater the reward. And you're going to have to remember that. Especially those of you believing for children. You understand what I'm saying? There's another fight that happens on the other side of that reward. Children aren't easy. I had cowlicks. They ain't there no more. Job knew God. Job was as much a man of faith as anybody in the Bible, but we don't give him credit for that, do we? Oh, he was a worrier. He was full of fear. Yes, he was. God wanted that out of him. And by the way, Job knew God so well that he never cursed him. And he continued to stand. By the way, they believe this whole thing took place in 6 months. Imagine losing everything you've got. And in 6 months, I forget what the multiplication factor was. God blessed him above and beyond. Why? Because it was always God's intent to bless him. He wanted to bless him more, but he needed this garbage out of him. You can't believe that God is good and then believe that God would do this to you. He knew that God was in charge of everything. That's why he said, told his wife, he said, we thank God for the good. Can we not also accept the hard times? We thank him in the good times, but we don't thank him in the hard times. Job knew who God was and knew that God would provide for him, knew God would take care of him. We're talking about a man who's having to scrape boils off of his body with broken pieces of pottery. Don't know about you, but that don't sound fun. I got a couple of little blisters right there. I'm not for certain what they are, but they itch. Got an idea, but I wasn't in that day. That's what's got me a little, I don't know where that came from. Got one there. They're just little blisters, but I can't imagine sitting there scraping them. I've chose rather to use what the ability God has given me and thank him, one, for healing me, but two, not focusing on the itch. Oh, but Pastor, I just can't. I bet you can if you tried it. Focus on everything else. And if you have problems and you're having a difficult time on concentrating on something else besides that current pain, I can help you with that. Anybody ever seen Major Pain? Forgot about your leg, didn't you? Well, it's kind of the truth, isn't it? We get so focused on one thing, we forget about everything else. Oh, God, I got a little poison ivy or something on me. All the world just coming to an end. Let's see. Lord, I thank you that I am healed because I know you're the God who heals me, and this stuff doesn't have to go any further. Lord, I'm not going to worry about this. It will pass. By the way, it's not scripture, and everybody, oh, that is not scriptural. Not everything that's truth is actually in your Bible. 2 + 2 = 4, is it not? But I ain't found it in there anywhere. Just saying. It will pass. It will come to an end. You know how I got through boot camp? 3 months of hell. You know how I got through it? There was an end date. You know how I got through 4 years of the Marine Corps? There was an end date. I just had to keep moving. That's how you do it. You keep moving. You set forth. How did I get through high school? There was an end date. That's how I did all. That's how you do everything. Well, Pastor, you know, what about this life? There is an end date. You just don't know when. So how about you live your life and quit worrying about the things you can't control, right? Job wasn't going to stop any of that by worrying and by doubting who God was. God is faithful. God will direct things back. The Bible says we're tempted. When we're tempted in James, it's because of things that we were tempted by. Job had the opportunity to complain against God, didn't he? How many of you would have? I should say, how many of us? I'll throw myself under that bus. How many of us would have complained against God? Well, God, you said you'd heal me. God, you said you'd do this. God said, you don't know what I'm doing right now, do you? You don't know what I'm up against for you. I believe it was Jeremiah. Was it Jeremiah who prayed? Daniel. Daniel who had prayed. He had prayed and he knew that God would answer his prayers. Finally, an angel came and he said, I have been warring against the prince of Persia for 21 days to get here to you. Think about that. Your prayer goes up and the devil fights against it to bring the reply back. Now, here's the great thing, folks. We don't have to wait all that. We don't have to. We don't have to have angels bring us the message from God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. But that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to fight you on receiving it. Because right now I'm telling you, the devil's fighting some of you to keep you from receiving the healing that you need, to receive the freedom that you need. And it's all in standing fast and believing what God has said. Well, Pastor, I've got so many things in my life I need to clean up. Start with the one that'll kill you the fastest. For me, God took the alcohol. He took it away from me, but there was still a desire. And over years, I have no desire for it. God took the one thing that would kill me the fastest. God's delivered you from some things, right? He's taken those things. Now, start going after the others. You know, the Bible tells us we're all trying to get our gardens all cleaned up, aren't we? We're get those weeds out of there, pull them out. This morning I had a great analogy. I was pulling some volunteer grass that has grown up in my ferns. And the grass grows taller than the ferns sometimes. And there was this clump of grass that had grown right beside the fern ball. And I started to pull on it. And when I pulled on it, the roots of the fern ball started to come up. I let go of it. And I heard the words of God when he said, I will let the tares stay with the wheat until harvest. Then I'll separate them. Because if I tear that up right now, I will kill the thing I'm trying to protect. See, God knows that about you. Do you know that? I'm not saying that gives us an excuse to live in sin. I'm saying you're condemning yourself isn't helping you one bit. So all I did was gave him a quick yank to the side and sheared him off. I'm not going to sacrifice the fern for the grass. I can tear the grass back down later if it grows back up. Everybody wants God to come in and, oh, just come in and operate, do this, tear me in, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you know what happens? They think they got delivered and they go out and then they fall within 6 months. In North Carolina, we had a man wanted to give a testimony. So our pastor had him up. I remember this because I was sitting about where Caleb and Morgan are from the front. And he stood up here and he gave a testimony about how God had delivered him from homosexuality. I thought, praise God. I mean, that, by the way, that takes some stones to do that too, to stand up and testify of that in a church that is 50% Marines. We weren't exactly fond back then. And I sat there and I watched him. But he chose not to continue to stand. 6 months later, he was gone. Back into the lifestyle. God had delivered him. Because he wouldn't stand and wouldn't stay away from the stuff. He kept getting sucked back into what he knew. That's why people fall. Do you know that? They go back to what they know. The Bible says as a dog returns to his vomit. He knows that. He just left it there. So does a fool to his folly. We keep going back to what we know because it's comfortable to us. But I'm promising you, there is a new sensation in victory. There's a new sensation in standing. When you stand and you've overcome that and you can believe. As I stood day after day for 2 weeks over that boy's incubator, praying over him. See, she was on bed rest. She couldn't come in to see him half the time. I don't even know how much she got to see him, but just periodically. Okay. All right. Well, I wasn't there because I'd started my business, had a job still, and at some point needed to sleep. But I would go to the hospital and I'd pray over him. And I know she was doing the same thing. And, oh, you can't touch him. We don't need him getting excited. Hogwash, you aren't going to tell me I'm not going to touch my son. And I'd lay my hand on his feet. It's about as far in as I could get in without getting caught. Told you I'm sneaky. That's where Carter gets it from. I'll have to tell you that story. But I would pray over him. And remembering how weak I felt. How I didn't feel like anything special. And yet here, 19 years later, graduating from high school, doctor said he would be sick the rest of his life. No. Oh, he's going to be a weak little boy. No. Oh, absolutely not. I had to even remember that when he was growing up, he's younger than I think. He was very strong. But I can tell you right now, standing for him is why I can stand for you. And why I can teach you to stand. Because I did it. Was it fun? Absolutely not. I had one picture of him, and I'd put it in my toolbox at work. And I'd set it up there, and I worked down here at Cosmo. And some of the ladies had come by, and all that is just so sad. How can you look at that picture? We still got it. I thought, well, it's the only picture I got. I mean, what do you expect? I got one picture. But because we stood in faith, there's a story to tell that he can tell his children and his children's children how to stand in faith, how grandpa and grandma stood in faith. You can stand in faith. He said, I'm the God that heals you. I'm the God that provides for you. I'm the God that loves you. Some of you need to understand that and grasp, wrap that around your heart and never let it go. God loves you. And there's not a demon in hell that can take that away from you. That's what Paul told us. I am now convinced that neither height nor depth nor principality nor powers nor angels nor demons or any depth of hell can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can take that away from you. You are loved by God. And if you will trust him, he will show you how much he loves you. You just have to stand. I don't care what the world's throwing at you. I don't care if they just fired you. I don't care if you just lost your house or they turned off your electric. I could ask how many people have had that done before, and it'd be a lot of hands going up. It's no fun. We just pretend we was Amish. Go get the candles. Oh, the lights go out again? Yep. Maybe they'll get that transformer fixed. Really, Dad? Can't you fix it, Dad? You're an electrician. Oh, but I can't be. I don't want my kids to be without. I want my kids to stand, so if they have to suffer a little, I'm sorry. Got one of them in here to hear that. You're going to... No. They make their own decisions. That's why I tried to raise them up to make decisions when they get old, when they're older. Think about the decision. You got to lay down at night with that decision. Did I buy the right car? Did I buy the right house? If we weren't already living in the house, when we bought it, I ain't going to lie. I would have had some serious doubts, but we'd been living there for a little over 6 months. Okay. God, this is going to be all right. There were some fat times, a few skinny times, but in all of them, God provided. God, we got a kid coming. I wouldn't want to bring a kid into this world. Why would anybody want to bring a kid into this world? I'm trying to wonder why your parents brought you into the world. Shut up. If we don't bring children into this world, we as a species die off. And if we as believers do not bring our children into this world and raise them up as believers, we as a people will die off. So stand on what God has promised you. Those words, when negativity comes, shut your mouth. I'm not healed. Yes, you are healed. Well, it hasn't manifested. Where's Pat? Pat told me this morning that I went to shake my hands. Don't shake his hands. He's not shaking your hand because he just feels a little funky. So he said, I'm not shaking people's hands. But he has hands in his pockets. And I thought, what's this big? You always shake my hand, Pat. You've never once. But he said, I got a little crud and I don't want to spread it around. He said, but I am healed. It just hasn't manifested completely. Well, I don't think he should be in church. Oh, he didn't get it here at church, and neither did you. You come here once a week. Blame it on the grocery store. Blame it on Dollar General. Blame it on school. You teachers know what I'm talking about, school. Hey, Mrs. Scott. I'm just saying. Well, I don't want to be around germs. Oh, my Lord, you're an antibacterial person, aren't you? You know, you probably spend more time being sick than I do. And I don't use antibacterial soap. Well, you really ought to, Pastor. Well, you know, I know why I lose my voice twice a year. It's because I don't shut up. Oh, and by the way, I probably withstood quite a bit more than other people have because my body's built up and immune to it. Just saying, if you don't have a test on your immune system, it's never going to rise up. You don't know how strong you are until you get a test, right? Those physical fitness tests at school really showed who was who. I always loved the pull-up bars. Oh, man, so-and-so's going to do a bunch of pull-ups. Remember Tom? Tom and I were in the same class. They're going to do a bunch of pull-ups. Hey, get ready to do 3 pull-ups. I'm like, dude, your arms are the size of my legs. 3 pull-ups, the guy with one arm did 10. And he did. Did 10 pull-ups with one arm. Because that's all he got. Testing something will prove what you got. Oh, you say you're the best in the world? Give you the opportunity, which is why I think the NFL Super Bowl, we're the best in the world. Did you play the world or did you just play the nation? Sorry. There are football leagues here. There's football leagues there. You got to be careful that we're not talking soccer. But if you're going to be the best, you got to take on everybody. Don't be afraid of what the devil's going to bring at you. Be like Job. Quit looking at him as a man of patience. Look at him as a man of faith who trusted in God so much so that his wife said, are you still clinging to your integrity? It's what he stood on. His integrity was his belief in God that was unwavering. And he was not giving it up. Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I know he gained a whole bunch of daughters in the end and sons. And, I'm not reading that. All right. Here, I'll finish it out with this. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life. You get a second half. Did you know that? Blessed him in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named his first daughter Jemima, something like that. The second Keziah, and the third Keren Hapuch. In all the land there were no other women as lovely as the daughters of Job. And their father put them into his will along with their brothers. And Job lived 140 years after that. How old was Job when he went through it? The Bible just told us. He was 140. He was 280 when he died. And we can't handle it at 40. Tack another 100 years on it and tell me how you feel about everything. By the way, think about 140 years and you're still having babies. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't think the old wife did. I don't know. We don't know a whole lot, but I'm just telling you, folks, God blessed him because he stood. You need to stand. Don't receive the words of people around you. You know, the Bible tells us not to cast our pearls before the swine. You know what that means? It means don't throw your good confession towards people who do not believe. We've tried to twist it into many other things. Just, you ain't got to throw the good out into the pig slop. If it's going to get trampled and you know they're not going to stand with you, quit telling them. Let them stand back and be ashamed that they didn't believe when you have what it is you're believing for. Believing for a good job? Then you got to stand. Quit your doubt. Just knock it off. Pastor, it's easier said. You know that. Oh, I know it's easier said than done. But I've done it. Ask God to help your unbelief. All right, let's stand. You're getting out of here early today. It's only 11:57. And it's a beautiful day. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, I thank you and I praise you for your word. I thank you, Lord, right now that your word tells us who you are. But it only introduces us to you. We get to really know who you are through a relationship. Father, I pray for each and every person in here today. I pray that their relationships would grow stronger, that they would be able, Father, to stand. That they would be able to go forth and learn more about you each and every day. Father, right now, I pray that for those who are believing. I'm going to ask you right now, if you're believing for something, just stick your hand in the air. I don't care what it is. It could be a car. It could be catch fish today. I don't care. Father, in Jesus' name, I join my faith with my brothers and sisters in this body, and I ask, Lord, right now that you help them to stand. Father, I cast down doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you're moving in their midst, that you are blessing them, Father, and that you're revealing yourself to them right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I bless your people. As they go forth today, Lord, may your word carry them through this week. May it overflow in their lives, Father. May the joy be seen on their faces and in their lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.